You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Yes, we are joined by co-leader of the Green Party, James Shaw. James, how are you going today?
Very well, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, your party is supporting the Waka Jumping Bill, despite it not being in your confidence and supply agreement with Labor to do so. Why are you supporting the bill?
Ultimately, because it's part of the New Zealand First coalition agreement, both New Zealand First and the Green Party pledged to support each other on the contents of each other's agreements, right, as a sort of a minimum. That's, you know, basically as sort of making sure that the government can function. Because if we don't back each other on at least what's in those agreements, then actually there's kind of nothing to govern with.
So do you feel that the government could sort of be in jeopardy if you didn't pass this legislation?
It's not that the government would fall over, but it would become... So essentially, if we said to New Zealand First, well, we're not going to back you on, you know, what is apparently a very important issue for you in your coalition agreement, which you have signed and which we've pledged to support, we're going to, you know, kind of back out of that, then they're under no obligation to support us on any of the things that we want to do. For example, zero carbon bill, or ensuring pay equity, or reforming the welfare system, or any of those things that are in our agreement. So it's just part of a, you know, function of being in government. The other thing is that, you know, we have built in, through negotiation, a number of safeguards into the bill, which made us considerably more comfortable with where the final bill landed from where it started off.
And what are these?
There's a couple. One of which is what we call a reasonableness test. In law, to say that they've got to have reasonable grounds means that it is contestable.
So is this an objective standard rather than subjective?
You know, an MP who is the subject of one of these, you know, essentially an ability to appeal it. The other thing that we built in is that it's got to be a three-quarters decision of the caucus, so it's not up to the leadership. So when people say, you know, a leader can fire any MP they want, that's actually simply not true under the revised bill.
But I suppose if the MPs see the leader supporting it, won't they just sort of toe the line and vote with them?
Well, no, not necessarily. Leaders actually don't win every argument in a caucus. And I think if, you know, if you've got to think about the incentives here, right? If you're a member of a caucus and a leader says, I want to get rid of this one person, and if you don't vote for that, then I'll get rid of you too. Well, ultimately, that involves everybody. The logical extension of that argument is everybody has to vote for everybody else's expulsion, which isn't going to happen. So there's that. But I think probably the most important safeguard that got built into it is that it's got to be compliant with the rules in your party constitution. So if you have a clause in your party constitution that says ultimately some version of, well, you know, we won't trigger the rocket jumping legislation, then it can't legally be used. And so if parties don't like it, then they can simply add that clause into their constitution. So,
But I suppose despite these...
Ultimately, it means that, there's probably only one party in Parliament that actually considers it important.
But despite the reforms you've put into the bill, do you still accept that it is denying MPs the freedom of association and speech?
I think that there is a risk of that. But again, I think because of those set of safeguards, and also that already exists because of the list ranking system. So any MP who spends their time kind of bagging their own party, for example, runs the very high risk that they will simply be ejected from the party list the next time there's an election. So MPs' behaviour is already moderated to an extremely high degree by the existing set of rules.
There's not much of a need for legislation like this?
What's that?
There's not really much of a need for legislation like this if these things already exist.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is a bit of a storm in a teacup, to tell you the honest truth. There are quite a lot of people who have said on the other side of the argument that they do think that MPs should be essentially required to act in accordance with the the party that they were sort of voted in on. But I think overall it's, you know, the whole thing's been blown a bit out of proportion.
Do you think there's a sort of growing tension between Green MPs and the members? You've had things like sort of a bit of a to-do over freshwater rights and the worker jumping bill, and these are challenging some of your core values as a party. Is there a bit of a split?
No, there isn't. And I think that's a bit of a tired narrative, to tell you the truth. In fact, I would argue the reverse is true. It was always, and I said this last year, and in fact we've known this the whole time we've been in Parliament, that when we went into government for the first time, it was going to be quite an adjustment. I mean, it was quite an adjustment for us in the 90s to go from being a party outside Parliament to being a party inside Parliament and to become a party of opposition. The transition from a party of opposition to a party of government is you know, similar in terms of the scale of that transition, and not without its teething issues, as have been widely reported on. But at our party AGM 2 weeks ago, I actually experienced the party as incredibly constructive and pragmatic, and really thinking about all the great things that we can do in government and are doing in government, and that those things are outweigh the kind of the teething issues that happen along the way.
And moving on, in September last year, you proposed a $260 million youth mental health package that included free counselling for under 25s. Is the party still committed to this?
Yes, we are. And we've got a pilot program that was funded out of Budget 2018 to start to work out how best to do that. So that's I'm not sure exactly where that's up to in terms of getting rolled out, but that's been funded, and with any luck, that'll be really useful in terms of working out how we want to scale that up.
And I suppose how important is a policy like this, considering the sort of worsening mental health statistics we're seeing in Aotearoa?
Well, it's hugely important, and you know, I mean, so I think the Green Party has been kind of leading on youth mental health issues. And I have to say, I am pleased that, you know, this is an area of priority for the government. So we got in as part of our confidence and supply agreement that commitment to youth mental health services for people between the ages of 18 to 25. But the Labor Party itself are actually, Minister Clark is the health minister, is looking at funding for mental health services for people up to the age of 18. So, you know, between us, across government, we're managing to start to put in place the building blocks for a much more comprehensive youth mental health service.
Do you think?
And it's obviously, you know, mental health issues are back in the news media at the moment. And it is helpful that the kind of pressure continues to be applied, because it is a massive issue for us in New Zealand.
And do you think this is a bit of a crisis in New Zealand?
Yeah, I do, and I said that during the course of the election campaign last year as well. It is something that we absolutely have to get on top of.
When do you think we can see this being implemented? Do you think it'll happen before this end of this first Parliament?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Certainly the pilot is getting rolled out. You do have to take notice of what the evidence says. That's why we wanted to do the pilot first, to make sure that we had the most effective kind of program to roll out. So I can't say for certain what results that pilot program will yield, but it is, you know, it is starting the investment.
And there will definitely be free counselling for those under 25?
Well, that's the intention. That's why we've put in place that that pilot program.
Excellent. Thank you so much, James. Great to talk to you.
You too. Talk to you next week.
Yeah, talk to you next week. Yes, that was the Green Party's James Shaw.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.